I was really blessed with two good dads. Andy's dad taught us that know God for yourself. And I sometimes read things in devotions or whatever, and people want to change, and they see things that holds them down. And I told Andy the other day, I don't understand that, because my dad taught me to be who I am. That's who he was. He didn't change himself for nobody. And Andy's dad was the same way. He served the Lord, and he didn't. And I remember years ago, I tried to change myself, or try to be what my kids, because sometimes I would embarrass them. So I tried to be something I thought they wanted me to be. But I was miserable, and I found out that I needed to be who God made me. Yeah, I'm different, but we're all different. We all got different fingerprints, so we're surely all different. So I'm thankful with the fathers I've had that has changed me and helped me to realize that I can be who I am, and that's okay, and you can still make a difference. I also was thinking, I got a couple little things here. I saved them two different ways on my phone so I wouldn't lose them. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stands in the ways of the sinner, or sit in the seats of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, whose yields its fruit in season, and whose leaves does not wither, wherever he does prosper. A godly father is, F, he's faithful to God and his family. A, he's able to discern God's will in trying times and in good times. T, he's thankful for all the joys and trials of life. Happy no matter what the life brings. E, enthusiastic about a life lived with purpose. R, is righteous, rock solid in the heart and mind from a growing relationship with Jesus. For these things and so many more, we praise God for our fathers and this Father's Day and always. I was also thinking, it's hard for people who've never had children because they think they're not a father and they're not a mother. But I thought yesterday, Jesus didn't have any children either. He lived for 40 years, and he was a father to many. We can look at his example, and we grow from that because he taught us. And just because you may not have helped birth a child does not make you any less of a father, because we are fathers and mothers wherever we go in our journey, and that's what we should realize when we leave our day or we get up in the morning. How can I make an impact on somebody else? Because not everybody might not have the father they need or the mother they need, but God gave his son to be the living model to show us how to be a good father. So we got a little gift card here for everybody. So I'd like for all the men to stand, and maybe this row on this side over here can come up first, and I'll give you your gift card. I'm trying to do the social distancing a little bit. I know we're a loving church, and we all like to hug. So you can come this way, the men, so we don't run into the camera. This side comes this way. I'll give you your gift card. And we want to thank everybody for being a model to our young people in our communities. And we appreciate that. That's all right. You still got one, so it don't matter. This side over here.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you. Sure. Thank you. my granddaughter, in true fashion of her grandmother, wanted to make a Father's Day gift, so we're going to give this gift. It says Happy Father's Day to the oldest father. So I know men, they don't mind telling their age like women. So I'm trying to find the oldest father. Is anybody here older than 60? Come on, Joe. How about 62? Anybody older than 62? 63. 64. Anybody older than 64? You're 64, Steve? How old are you? Henry, I'm lost my mind because I'm old. 71. Anybody older than 71? How old are you, sir? 73. Anybody older than 73? No, you don't. You don't look a day over 60. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you so much.
Sure. All right, now we got a special speaker. It's a gentleman, fitting for Father's Day, and handsome. I give him a hard time, but he knows I love him. Mr. Joe Harvey. Oh, I'm sorry. We're having Sunday school today.
Well, happy Father's Day, everybody. I hope everybody has a great day. And, you know, I'm sitting there this morning, but V, aren't you supposed to go to Sunday school class? Oh, that's nice. That's real nice. I'm big on surprises. Something that, you know, that it does has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today, but, you know, this cross that was always on the center up here always meant a lot to me. And yeah, it's going, and I know for many reasons, and that's okay, you know. But when we started the COVID and Lisa started doing her teaching online, it dawned on me what that cross really meant. And every time they had the camera on Beth or even on Lisa, because I think she must have stood in this area somewhere, if you ever looked at the top of these two doors, you know, there's different colors of green in the wood. There's a cross in the top of this door, and there's a cross in the top of this door. And this is the empty cross. And it dawned on me. I don't know why, but, you know, I think God puts things into place for a reason, you know. And sometimes they may sound quirky or they may sound like nothing. But that is just, for some reason, I just wanted to say that forever because I think that it was always there for the reason. But I just wanted to point that out before I move on and, you know, let one, Beth know that she didn't spend long enough time on the music. When her mother's speaking, it's always quarter till before we get there. So thanks, Beth. Tam, I don't think I have to say anything because, quite frankly, she covered everything I wanted to talk about. So, but it was a great word, Tammy, and I appreciate that. And, you know, I guess as I thought about Father's Day and Lisa asked me to speak and there's so many of you in here that has spoke and been in this place, and believe me, I enjoy listening to somebody else speak. And I just hope today that I can give somebody something that can help them walk through life as well as what it, you know, the Lord's helped me do it. But when you think of Father's Day, and I can't go very far without these. So it was like, are you a father or are you a dad? Or does it really matter? So I wanted to start looking through this, and the dictionary says a father, like a mother, are pillars in the development of a child's emotional well-being. Children look to their fathers to lay down the rules and enforce them. They also look to their fathers to provide a feeling of security, both physical and emotional. And what it says about a dad is, a dad is someone who holds you when you cry, scolds you when you break the rules, shines with pride when you succeed, and has faith in you even when you fail. So that's the Webster Dictionary. But for us, the dictionary is the Bible. The Bible doesn't speak of a dad. It only speaks of the father. And the Bible says a father is implored to bring their children up in the ways of the Lord, to discipline them, to encourage, comfort, and instruct them. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them to discipline and instruction of the Lord. So as I read those things, and you know, I think, okay, how do I relate all the things? Because I'm going to get to the message that I don't think you can go through Father's Day without, and I know you've heard it a million times, but is the prodigal son. But as I thought of myself, you know, where do I fall into all this? Because those of you who know me well, I never had any children. Never had, you know, a biological child of mine. I think it was probably because I was too selfish, to be honest with you. But then God blessed me with Matt around the 8 years old. But you know what? I wasn't his father. He had a father. And, you know, and I think that the word father should be capitalized just like a man's name or a woman's name, because that's how much respect it demands. And so with Matt coming into my life, it was like, you know, maybe feeling that thing, but I never ever saw the birth of a child or anything like that. So I'm telling you some personal things, and that's what it gets me to my message, I guess, or I hope today. But, you know, we got to go to the ball games, and we got to see them when state, and we got to go to, you know, football with, and they went to state, and all those things that you grew up with. And so many people, you know, today try to live through their children, right? But you just got to let your kids be who they are, in my mind. That's how I feel about it. But for Matt and I think it was, I think he did respect me, and I hope that I gave him what he needed that he could grow up to be. And when he went into, you know, the Air Guard and the Air Force full time, you know, I was very proud of him. I was proud of him for all the things he did. But when I said I was never a father, you know, I think when I talk to a man who is a father, one of the greatest moments is the day the child's born, that they spend that time there, knowing that that was never going to happen for me. But as many times God's put me in places that I feel like I shouldn't be, but he says I should be. You know, he went off to Iraq, and Briley was getting ready to be born. And, of course, you know, Granny's playing a big part in this now since Matt's not around. And my job was to make sure that while Matt was going, the Air Force and the hospital had this hooked up, that Matt could watch this thing on video or, you know, yeah, on Skype. So my job was to get the camera ready, because V was going to go, and I had to have the camera ready for it, charged up and ready to go. So I did my part. Unfortunately, somebody, 3 o'clock in the morning, the phone rings. V's up out of bed. Things are flying around. Lights are coming on. Where's the camera? Here's the camera. I mean, I don't know if it's Summer having the baby or V, but here's the camera. Thank goodness she's out of the house. And about, I don't know, 5:30, I'm getting ready to get back in the sack and go back to sleep. Well, about 6 o'clock, phone rings again. Well, this time, it's V. There's something wrong with this camera. I'm like, okay, I had it plugged in. Well, you got to get down here and fix this thing. So, you know, what do you want me to do? Well, the hospital's only 10 minutes away from the house. So I gather all my stuff up. I go down to the hospital. I can't get in the door, so I'm knocking on the door. I don't know if anybody is familiar, but in the babies are born, the door locks, I guess. So I'm knocking on the door. They let me in. So I said, yeah, I'm here to see. And so they tell V, she comes out. I give her, she said, here's a camera, charge it up. I'm thinking, okay, I'm standing in the hallway. 10 feet away is the door going into Summer's room. And the only thing in this hallway is the receptacle, me, and the nurse's desk. One nurse, and that was it. And she was coming and going, so I'm standing there holding this thing. In the meantime, I don't know what labor sounds like, but I think I heard it. And I'm telling you, If Matt would have been sitting there, someone would probably ripped his eyeballs out. Because he was eating potato chips in a sub in a rack while she's in labor. And you could hear it over the computer. And I hear everybody laughing, and she's just screaming at Matt. And finally, something happens, and the doors fly open, and the nurse runs out, and they're all going to Summer's room. I see the doctor going in, and I'm seeing her holding the camera. And, I mean, Summer's really starting to scream or whatever it is. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I'm 10 foot away. She's getting ready to have a baby. I don't need to be here. I never had this, and I don't need it now. Right? So everything got quiet. And when everything got quiet, I remember standing there, and I remember the nurse bringing that baby out just minutes after they just wiped her off, and she hadn't even got her shots yet. And the woman said, they said, you might want to see your granddaughter. And she was so beautiful. I mean, I think I've always told V, babies are born to look like E.T. or aliens, you know. But let me tell you something, this one didn't. This one was perfect. I'm not saying she still is, but she was then. And I'm standing there that day, and here I am still holding this camera, and finally V's like, well, I don't need it now. I'm like, okay. Can somebody unlock the door and let me out of here? Because I'm ready to go to a football game. That's where I was headed. And I was thinking after that was, how can somebody ever turn their back on something like this? And in today's world, we're living with that, I'm afraid. And, you know, I know as the kids grow older, sometimes they can get on your nerves, but that love, you can look at a child and a father or a child and a mother, or you can talk to the child for a while, and you know when the connection is there. You know it. So, in my mind, there is no difference between a dad or a father. The only difference is DNA. And I'm jumping to the end here. So, good thing I get paid in blessings and not by the hour, because we might be done early. So, as we go forward with that, I got to thinking, what part of the scripture do I use, and how I tied my family incidents into this, because, you know, we never thought Matt would have one kid, and turns out, boom, 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 next thing you know, we got three. You know, and hopefully they're done. But, yeah, it's a little different watching those grandparents. So, you know, the couple things I wanted to do, I wanted to, of course, go to Luke 15, because I want to speak of the prodigal son. And when I started reading that, there's a couple chapters or verses before you get to the prodigal son, the perils that Jesus was speaking that day, that I felt like tells us the message that, you know, God is the ultimate father, and he doesn't want to lose one of us. And so while I was getting ready to get to that, I thought I wanted to go through these verses as well. So the first verse was Luke 15, 1. Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near Jesus to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began muttering and complaining, saying, this man accepts and welcomes sinners and eats with them. So Jesus told them the parable. What man among you, if he has 100 sheep, loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost, searching until he finds it? And when he was found, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he gets home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous people who have no need for repentance. And if you're one of the 99, then you've lived a pretty good life because you did what was right. It's that one sheep that goes away and you have to bring back. And in our Father's eyes, it doesn't matter if it's one or one out of 1,000. He wants that one. The one thing I've always told my guys at work when I was in the sales and managing the salespeople was like, they'd say, well, Joe, I got half the display. I'm like, I don't care. If there's 10 pieces of chicken in that bucket, how many do I want? I want 11. I want that plus one more. That's what we need to give to our Father. We need to be the fathers and the dads out there speaking to the children, our Father's children, and bringing them to Him. So the point to that was that everyone counts. And then the parable goes on with the woman with the lost coin. Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins, loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me because I found the lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents, that is, changes his inner self, his old ways of thinking, regrets past sins, lives his life in a way that provides repentance and seeks God's purpose for life. And that just goes along with that. So, once again, just saying that we're better than money. You can't put a dollar on any human being's head. But in today's world, I think that happens. It's happening too many times in our government. It's happened too many times. Sometimes I don't think people really realize what it is. But what we need to know is that we got to love one another regardless of our color, our race. We all bleed the same. God gave us the same air to breathe. And we're not the judge. At the end of the day, we're going to be judged on how we did. It's not for us to judge how everybody else does. So I moved on to the prodigal son. And like I said, I know everybody's heard this a million times, but I don't think that a Father's Day message can go without this scripture or this parable. And I'm going to read it the whole way through. So just hang in there with me, and you know, we'll talk a little bit about it after we're done. Then he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to the father, Father, give me my share of the property that falls to me. So he divided the estate between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered together everything that he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he wasted his fortune in reckless and immoral living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in the country. He began to do without and be in need. So he went and forced himself on one of the citizens in the country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. He would have gladly eaten the pods of the pigs that the pigs were eating, but they could not satisfy his hunger, and no one was giving him anything. But when he finally came to his senses, we've all lived this life. When he finally came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough food while I am dying here of hunger? I will get up, go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired men. So he got up, came to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion for him. He ran and embraced his son, kissed him, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servants, quickly, bring out the best robe for our guest of honor. Put it on him. Give him a ring for his hand and sandals for his feet. And bring the fattened calf and slaughter it. And let us invite everyone and feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was as good as dead and is alive again. He was lost and has been found. So they began to celebrate. Now the older son was in the field, and when he returned and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. So he summoned one of the servants and began asking what this celebration meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound." But the elder brother became angry and deeply resentful and was not willing to go in, and his father came out and began to plead with him. But he said to his father, "Look, this many years I have served you. I have never neglected or disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me so much as a young goat so I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours arrived, who has devoured your estate with immoral women, and you slaughtered the fattened calf for him," the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But it was fitting to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was as good as dead and has begun to live. He was lost, but now he was found." And you see, it seems like this is over 2,000 years ago, but today it's not a lot different. So the father gives the younger son the inheritance. And I can speak of this from a family of two siblings, you know, me being the older and my brother being the younger. And he chose, not this is my brother, but in this instance, they chose to take their money. The father gave it to him. That's what he was going to owe him now or later, right? But what the older son seemed to forget is poor me. It sort of makes me sit back and think, well, were you happy that he left? Because now you had everything? Well, wake up. You always had everything because you never left. Isn't it the same way that it is with Jesus? He wants us to leave and bring that one back. But don't feel sorry for yourself because he gives him something he didn't give you. You've been there and you've received the blessings and you've had what Jesus has to offer. You've enjoyed it. And it should be a rejoice to us to bring that sinner over and he just starts to see it. Can you imagine what kind of life this opens up for the sinner? And that's the whole story behind the prodigal son. And you look at it, we got lots of prodigal sons. You know, you've heard me say before, I was brought up with a grandfather on my dad's side who was a minister, my mother's side who you prayed as a family before you set the table. And then when you got the table, you prayed over the food and who prepared it. And you read the Bible when you did it as a family. And it, guess what? All those kids ended up in church. And now we're the grandkids. And we all did the same things. We were brought up the right way. Our fathers did what was right. Now, they didn't have money. But I can tell you what we had was a lot of love. And big families, right? So if you didn't have it from your mom and dad or you didn't feel it, an aunt and uncle was there to give it to you. Yeah, you know, it was always somebody to fall back on. But with all that, I knew what was right and what was wrong. And at a very, very young age, I accepted Christ into my life. And at a very young age, I chose to go another way. I couldn't wait. You know, once you get into school, you get your license and you're, you know, playing your own sports and you got your own friends and nothing can hurt you. I couldn't wait to quit going to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and all week for revival when it happened. And I did those things. And my life went on for a long time, 20-some years doing that. But at the end of the day, and I've told this story to our pastor and to many of you, when the worst got worst, when things were going bad personally, professionally, and I didn't have a spiritual life then, I knew where to go. And I sat down at my desk at work and basically said, "This is it. I can't take it anymore." And after that happened, and after I started living, and I'm talking about just trying to put things in perspective to don't feel sorry for me, I'm fine, but whoever we bring in is going to enjoy this. I can tell you after that, and I've told many of you, and I've enjoyed many opportunities with a lot of you that I would have had had I not got back into church, had I not turned my soul back over to Jesus. I just thank God that he waited for me. He knew what he had in store for me. I don't think it was to be up here talking to you all, but here I am. But so there's many prodigal sons and daughters, and we need to bring them all back to Christ. And it doesn't matter, you know, whether you're a father or a dad, they're all God's children. And they all need to see our love. You take care of your families, you enjoy your grandkids, your kids. Just enjoy one more kid out there somewhere. And trust me, if you stop and talk to them, it won't take you long to figure out what they need or what they're longing for. I just hate to hear today that, you know, I don't want to go back on many years ago, but I always felt like the internet was going to destroy our country. I don't want to get into all that crap, but the thing of it is, things are happening online to our kids. They're being taken. Who they think that, hey, there's money, and somebody flashes money at them, they're like, I don't need my parents, I don't need to live under these rules, and next thing you know, they're sold into sex slaves and drugs, and this is really happening. Really happening. And until we open our eyes and go out and see this, we're in for a world of hurt because they're all God's children, and he wants them all back. So as we go into that, I thought about our father. You know, we all have a biological father somewhere, but at the end of the day, we have two fathers, and we have the ultimate father. We have the one that created all things. And at the end of the day, he is the Father. And I thought about the Lord's Prayer. And how does the Lord's Prayer start out? If you can bring it up, just go ahead and go to verse 8. If you guys want to read this with me, that's awesome. But verse 8 says, "But not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things we have and need before we even ask for it." That was me. He knew where he was going to get me. He knew he had to bring tough love on me. He knew that I was hard-headed and what my parents went through. But you know what? My grandparents was praying for me that I didn't know until the day they died, every day. I can tell you, your prayers mean something. So follow me in this prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine kingdom is the power and the glory forever. Amen. So what I want you to do, and like I said, I thought it would be quick, but I want you to ask you as a father and a mother, put yourself in a place that every day when somebody looks at you, they can see Jesus in you. And I can tell you that it works, personally. The things I did pre-1999, between the years I thought I was living my life, the things I did and what people asked me to do, today they won't do that. They don't even ask me to go to these places. I don't want to go to these places. I never want to forget where I came from because I don't want to go back there. But I don't want to go to these places. And people will curse or say something that, and they'll look at me and say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, don't be sorry to me, be sorry to him. So I'm okay that they know where I'm at and how I live my life. And they're still my friends. Then they are truly my friends. And someday, hopefully, I can help bring them to what God wants to see us do. But always keep that on your face. Make sure that you are a father that's showing Jesus Christ in your eyes, in your heart, in your soul, in your actions, to all people. And then when I think of the Father and what he gave his only Son. The one that sits on the right-hand side of our God. The one who can save your soul to get you in to the heavens. He let him go to be tortured, crucified, laughed at, just so he could put him on the right-hand side. Let me tell you something. That's our Father. That is our Father. He went through that for his only son. I think we can do that for one of those that are lost out there. That's all I have. Early Father's Day dinner, but thanks for listening.